morning.
Morning.
Today we have quite a full program for our 2 hours together. If you had been tracking with what our schedule for our topics would be, today we are talking about operating in the realm of the spirit. Yeah? Sounds big, but and so what we will be doing today is we will be having some worship together, and I've asked Daniel to lead us in worship, but the whole idea about this practice is for us to be able to feel free to participate as priests, you know, as a royal priesthood. And so the whole thing about our practice of worship is not to be so dependent upon a worship leader. And I've asked Daniel to lead, partly because Daniel's not on the worship team. Yeah, he's not on the worship team. He's like all of us. And the whole idea is, how do we, who are not on the worship team, lead people into the presence of God and worship in the spiritual realm? Yeah. So today that's our topic, you know, operating in the spiritual realm. So the whole idea about this time of worship is that it is not much use if Daniel's doing all the leading. It is actually practice for us to, as we are moved by the Spirit, not be afraid to make mistakes, but to speak out or act out as the Holy Spirit's doing that. If that doesn't happen, then it's not that much use. Yeah. You will find sometimes that we can bear witness with one another. Someone gives a song, or there's a phrase that a person speaks or utters that you may have had in your heart, you know. So be noting that. As we do that, I wanted to think about three aspects of how we can actually experience the sense of the Holy Spirit's workings, right? So the Holy Spirit's workings can be sensed in several ways, but there are three ways in which we want to focus on for today. And I just want to describe it a little bit for us so that we can have a framework for interpreting what's going on. The first thing that I'd like us to do is to be able to pay attention to what I call the feel or the force of his conviction, the weight or the substance of the Spirit's moving, yeah? So that it's not just conceptual, it's not just words, but it is something of a virtue, yeah? So the idea of virtue is like almost like an aqueous or a liquid substance. So when the Holy Spirit is moving in conviction, that conviction is not just an idea, but it is the strength of something. There's a substance to it. Okay. Does that make sense? So I'm interested for us to actually have a feel for that. When I was talking about strength, you know, strength arising, and strengthening our hands, this strength is the force or weight of his presence or his conviction in us. And that can be felt. Yeah, can be felt. The more we pray, the more we attend to him, the more we give space to him, the more we feel that weight. But what I'm interested is for us to be able to have a feel of that dynamic. Yeah. There are a lot of Christians who don't have a feel. They're tone deaf as far as that's concerned. If you don't mind me mixing metaphors. They're tone deaf in the sense that it doesn't make it's all an idea, right? A concept. So when they speak about the word, it's just a word. That's a concept. And what we are interested here is not in that, but in the substance of it. And so that's something that we want to have as an understanding of spiritual dynamics. The weight, the feel, the substance, the virtue of it. For example, when Jesus met the woman with an issue of blood, she experienced the virtue, healing virtue of it touching her, and he felt it before he had met her. there were no words, but there was a thing, that was going on. And what we want to do is, in worship, to not be wordy, you know, about things. Because a word is not the thing itself. A word can be just a sign that points to the thing. And many people dwell in the realm of words. So words are the rise that they get is just in the fact of the words meaning something. That is not the thing. The words point to the thing itself. And so it's very important for us to actually be able to have a grasp of that, so that we can begin moving in that realm and not just the realm of concepts. So when the woman with an issue of blood touched Jesus, virtue flowed out of her. Now, conviction is a virtue as well. Conviction can rise in us. So sometimes strength can rise. It says strength, the song says, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, right? Strength will rise. I want for us to be able to be to have a feel of that. When it's small, when it's very light, and have a feel of it as it can get heavier and heavier and heavier. Does that make sense? So these are things that a person who cannot speak, who's mute, for example, can experience. Right? Because this is not the language of words or concepts, but it's the actual thing itself. So what we want to do is to get away from relying on words to evoke a feeling. The evocation of words in the Christian life is very, very limited. Yeah. And some people, their only experience of the dynamics of the Spirit is by the evocation of words. That's not what we are. That's not what the life of the Spirit is. The dynamics of the Spirit has to do with the fact that beyond words, there's a virtue of God's liquid glory. And so, those also come from the evangelical stripe of things, which is, I think, most of us. We don't have so much of a doctrine of sacraments. Yeah, the sacrament. The whole idea is that there's symbol and a sacrament. What we tend to do is use words as symbols to point to something, but those words are separate from the thing. But a sacrament is when words or signs and all that, or human communication, contains the thing itself. And what we want to be is more, have a sense of that more, right? And the reason why evangelicals lack power is because of the fact that we are just dwelling in the realm of concepts and words only. But so what we want to dwell is in the realm of the dynamics of virtue, the liquid glory of God, the conviction that can actually increase, even with no words being spoken. Today, this morning, Zephy called us and said that she was having a very severe headache and she could not see properly. Fortunately, we had given her a scan before, so we knew that there were no marbles in her head. Okay? But when we prayed, I just felt the prayer, not in terms of words, but in terms of just inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to fill, and just feeling that, and giving conviction to giving belief to the sense that the Holy Spirit is coming, right? And so that was not a conceptual thing. What we didn't want to do is to pray a prayer to send a message to her. You know how sometimes in evangelical circles, in prayer ministry, we pray a prayer just so, Lord, let them know that this is. Why don't you just tell that person? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times, because we dwell in the realm of concepts and then our prayers always are that, let them know this, or let them know this, or let their eyes be open to see this. That's just words. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is to dwell in the actuality of it coming, so give space to it. Does that make sense? So we pray for that. We just sense the Holy Spirit permeating and breaking in to her brain, right? And after that she said, you know, I feel better. Mm-hmm. Feel better. So, the first thing that we want to get a hold of is that the sense of His presence as a conviction that grows. And what I'd like for us to do is to share and describe after that how that was for you. Yeah. The second thing we want to do is to look at another aspect of that has to do with accuracy. Yeah. That's where when we speak words or we minister words, the words are not just general, but they can be accurate, they can be from God. Yeah? And so in this one, think in terms of not words or ideas that come as part of a thinking process, but as a discrete something that drops into our heart. Yeah? So sometimes when we're ministering to people, we look at a person and what arises is an idea or a picture that arises out of our thinking process. Mm-hmm. Try not taking the first thing that comes into your mind. Yeah? Even the thing that comes in your mind is from God, don't take it yet, just hold it first. And let be a space between our first thought that comes, our thought that comes from observation with our eyes or from the logic, but wait upon it, just wait upon it, so that there's a certain discreteness, there's a certain way in which it comes, not related to anything that comes to the mind, you know. Sometimes what happens is that in prayer ministry, we can actually just give pretty pictures, but those pictures are sort of, they're logically connected with the thing that people are asking to pray for. And it may well be from God, but you don't know. What we want to do is to be able to recognize when a thing from the other side drops upon us. And and the difference between that and a thought that arises, it may be a legitimate thought, but it just didn't come from heaven. Yeah. So we want to be able to recognize that. And so there's feel, there's weight, there's weight. Then there's also accuracy. Yeah, there's another aspect of that framework. Then the third thing has to do with the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, He causes a change in heart, or a change in sentiment, a change in paradigm, a change. He brings a new freedom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these three things are three aspects of the way when the Holy Spirit comes to us, we experience it, we sense it. In at least these three ways. Yeah, I'm sure there are more. But I just like us to be able to focus on that. Does that make sense? So when the Holy Spirit gives us a word or speaks to us, we feel set free by that. Right? It's not just another thought added to our collection of thoughts. It does have an effect. There's an effect about it. You know? Do you remember those of you who were at the fall conference when Sandra Ariola shared. She shared a word that had been given to her by someone, right? Mm-hmm. Sonia, right? And she was set free by that, right? The effect of that word was not another concept added to other concepts to compete with other concepts. Mm-hmm. It was not words going to war against other words. It was just a word that was God. And when that happens, it changes. It sets us free. It just puts joy. It can give us strength. That is what we're looking for. Yeah. And so these are just words that are sort of approximations to what the reality is. What I'm saying to you is just very faltering ways of trying to describe how the Holy Spirit can be sensed. Yeah, in terms of the weight, the force, the conviction, in terms of the word being accurate. And the third thing is there's a almost like an abrupt change. Yeah. I'll share just one more thing. Some of you know that we have been, for the past 3 to 5 years, especially the past 3 years, working on a court case. Right? Actually was very threatening, very, very threatening. And my first instinct is to just not have anything to do with it and just run away from it or walk away from it. And some weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word from Isaiah 35, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. So I felt convicted by that. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The Lord saying, strengthen yourself for this. Just strengthen yourself. Don't kind of fear it and then just say, I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. but strengthen yourself to go for it. But when the word came to me, I felt strength. It changed my whole approach to it. And I looked forward to our court date. I actually looked forward to it. I could feel fighting fit in me. So the word actually changed my heart. Yeah? We're looking for that, right? It was not another concept that was added to all the many concepts that I have about it, many thoughts that I had, but it was something that was it was a game changer for me in my own heart. And so we are looking for that. Keep your eyes out for those kinds of signs. Amen? As we are doing prayer ministry, we will have some practice for prayer ministry, but we'll have some practice for worship as well. So Daniel will be leading us in worship. And so what I want to say is this, participate, use it as an opportunity to participate in this. This is what Daniel's doing is something that we can all do. Yeah? For those of you who just came, we are purposely wanting a person who's not a worship leader, not in the worship team, to lead, so that we can all have a paradigm for leading people into the presence of God and into worship as well. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, yes.
When you were talking about the change, like that there, when we minister a word, that there's a change that comes, what happens, or, I mean, is that true if someone isn't necessarily open to God? I'm just thinking about, like, people that I might pray for or minister to that, like, maybe recognize their own desire for a change, but yet aren't totally on track with God.
Yes.
Or have a downness of spirit.
Yeah, that's good. Actually, I was wanting to talk about that later on, but let's address that. These things that I just described, these three things, are things that we are looking out for. So there's more stuff that goes behind it, like for us to pray, intercede. Sometimes we need to intercede so that the general atmospheric kind of spiritual climate is changed. When that happens, then we are able to detect it more, and that the sense of other competing thoughts begin to be more muted and they're cleared out of the way. Sometimes intercession is needed. Sometimes you're ministering to somebody and that person is so oppressed, so stubborn even, sometimes even willful, or sometimes just oppressed, that it may be from God, but it hasn't taken root in them. That is why even the prophets were not successful in many ways. Jeremiah was probably one of the most unsuccessful prophets, but one of the most profound. But his word still stands today, thousands of years down the corridors of time. He still stands, right, over all the other more powerful words that I've spoken. But the thing is that, yes, there is a way in which you can minister to people and they totally reject that word. That's possible, you know. Judas is one of those people, and there are consequences of that, you know. But what we want to do now is to develop a feel for that, so that at least for our own life, we can point and orientate ourselves towards that. Yeah. Sometimes we have to pray ourselves out so that that can happen, you know, so that these three things can become more. A lot of times, it's this generalized kind of way in which we are walking with God, we are feasting upon Him throughout the day, that allows us to be more in touch with this. If we are not, then, you know, all these three things, though they may be real, we are not even in touch with them. Does it make sense? Okay. Daniel, take it away.
Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Just invite your Holy Spirit to come and fill every heart and change us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are calling us to greater fruitfulness,
yes,
each one of us. We worship and praise you, God. Jesus, you say that where two or three are gathered, you are here with us. So we just welcome you now, Lord. Come and fill this place right now.
Yes, Lord.
With your holy presence.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. just open up our hands right now to receive from God as we gaze upon His throne in the heavenly places. Lord, You are high and lifted up.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You, God.
I praise Your holy name. Holy, holy, holy are You, O God.
Yes, God. Thank You, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus.
Let's sing, "Oh, praise the name." It's on the back of the
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah 54, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing, "You Are My All in All."
Thank you.
Amen. Right now.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
you are my friend, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Lord, we draw near, we come alongside you as much as you've come alongside us, Lord. Even as you reveal your nature and your heart to us, you have called us in friends.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
And then he just wants to minister his resurrection life in those places. So Jesus, we just lift you high. We exalt you, God. We exalt you. We worship you as the one who has taken on every infirmity, Jesus, and that you've risen from the dead after that.
Amen.
You've been resurrected, God, over every infirmity. And so we just lift you high. We lift you high in those places.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We praise you for your life, Jesus. We praise you for the life of God that you minister.
Yes.
Amen.
Teach us and give to each of us that you fill each of us with, God. And so we just, we minister to those places of infirmity right now, God.
Yes, Lord.
Speak your life, Jesus, right now, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for being the solid rock on which we stand, because
yes,
anything
Lord.
Else is sinking sand.
Yes.
God, some of us are feeling we don't belong. We're being exiled, and we yearn to return, God, to your land, God. And,
yes, Lord.
And Lord, we Jeremiah, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Sense that God is wanting us all to just reach out and touch the hem of his garment,
yes,
for those things that we feel maybe are hopeless or we've been dealing with, struggling with. Just touch the hem of his garment and healing will come. Power will be released from Jesus. Stretch out and grab a hold of it.
Yes.
It's not comfortable, but
you, God, just for the statistic of cancer, how it's gone down, the fastest it's ever gone down. It was this year, last year, Lord. Just thank you, God, that you're moving, God, in our nation right now, God. That you have left us or abandoned us. You're doing incredible, wonderful things, God. And we just thank you, God, for just giving the doctors just the wisdom right now, and all the researchers, yes, all the scientists, everyone that's involved, Lord. Just, God, just to see like a great statistic like that, Lord, we just give you the glory. We just worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Praise you. I'd like us to conclude with one final song, Days of Elijah.
Time to share. So the first question is, as far as in terms of places in which you felt that was things moving, things were, there was a weight in that. Where were the places that you felt there was weight? Or feel free to share like where you feel that weight was growing, or not growing, or going down. Yeah.
I think in Mary's case, it was like, well, for me, it like felt very weighty. And then when you followed up the song, it was just really, that was like kind of key.
Which part was that? Which part was that?
Sometime in the middle, I don't know, Mary was just saying thank you, God, for what you do. But there was some, it wasn't what she said, if we're going off of what you were sharing, Pastor Poe, but
yeah.
It was more her spirit about it, like, yeah, there's something to that. And then it felt like after that, for me at least, it felt more like easier to like just be freer and like kind of there was a flow.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, you have a very strong spirit.
For your many blessings, for your many blessings and how God has blessed us in different ways. And I always started to sing, and I think about sickness and how God has helped us and blessed us and that.
Just on that point, does anybody have anything more to say on that part of the worship?
Just that I agree. Like, I felt similarly. It was just like a genuineness that, like a genuine thankfulness that really was resonant coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree because, you know, I felt that all of a sudden there was all these pictures of different people that I know that have been really sick recently and are doing much better. And that thankful for the power that he gives us in prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
I came at the very end, but when we were praying about the cancer, I felt that as we pressed into thankfulness, that was part of the Lord's, that was part of his move, because that with shouts of praise, songs of deliverance, and thankfulness to him just opens up that path of deliverance where he is moving to heal people. And of course, you know, we all have people we're praying for who have been physically very sick, and so thankfulness and praise, you were pressing in a way that that seemed very very powerful. Mm-hmm.
So there's something about the not just the words that said, but the spirit within just said, that can open up something, right? So there's something about the strength of that spirit, Kelly and Mary. At first I was not sure whether it was Mary praying out or Kelly praying out. At first it was Mary and then Kelly, right?
Yeah, Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that there was that something.
And we didn't even, I was just thinking how God has been so good.
So that's a really powerful dynamic. That's why we worship, see. Worship first. So when we worship first, that opens up the spiritual atmosphere. So some of the things that we've been talking about, like accuracy weight and the transformation or the kind of the change, happens in, if you don't focus on those things, you don't focus on the things that God is going to do, but you focus on praising God, it opens it up, right? If you talk about, even if you're prophetic, you may have a prophetic word, if you don't have that spirit of praise and worship, that prophetic word will just bounce off. It won't have much of an effect. That's why worship is something we give God priority.
And you know something, God speaks to you. He speaks to you so many ways. In your Bible, he speaks to you. Because I want to look at something and I open my Bible and I just open it to a page.
Yeah.
He's speaking to me.
That's right. Amen.
So.
Amen.
Blessed today.
When we were singing You Are My All in All, I felt all of a sudden a like exchange of like faith. Like we have faith, but he was trying to say to me that he has faith in us too. That's why he gives us these people that to help. And I was just like, what? But it was kind of like it just stayed there. Like, yes, I have faith in you too. So
yeah,
an exchange.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Like in the sense of entrusting us with something precious.
Right.
As well.
There was a point in which what was being prayed was like the surrender. You know, Kat was praying with that. Sarah was praying with that. You know, how much God wants to spend time with us, right? Want us to be with Him. And then Sarah, you referenced Exodus. Yeah. And then there's a point in which we came into sort of the sense of His kingdom come. Yeah. Somebody prayed that kingdom come. Tammy prayed that, I think. And the sense of surrender to God. Right?
Yeah.
There's a dynamic. Did you feel that? There's a certain thing that was there.
I will be done.
God was bringing,
that
was God's bringing us into that place.
In my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I really felt that sense of surrender. Somebody said, I think it was Hepsi. At some point, somebody said the word surrender. And
yeah.
I just kept thinking, that's just all there is God. You know?
Yes,
this is
that's
really
right.
The only real person.
You're the only one who's worth spending time for. Yeah.
Sam's word stood out to me. It was really unique, but it was pretty deep. So it didn't kind of, it was interesting. So it didn't necessarily connect like in sync with some of the other themes, but I was really touched by that too. So it was some power. I thought that was really powerful.
The Jeremiah 29.
Yeah. And like kind of those of us who feel a little bit left out were like, that was also helpful to realize like, yeah, I'm always feeling kind of left out of this like corporate thing or struggling with some things, you know, and like coming into it. At least for me, that's how that kind of, it's different for everybody, but yeah.
Sam, what was going on in you when you gave that word?
Well, I have a word and people around me, and including my own experience, sometimes I felt like that. Some getting left out and not belonging at times. So it was like a journey this week, but I felt like the urge to share.
And that word that came, it came in response. So what I'm trying to say is that I don't know whether so maybe you can clarify this. Did it come out of your journey so that you bring your journey into the prayer? Or did it come in terms of God's response to the journey that you're going on?
It's more like, it's like the journey throughout this week.
Okay.
And then and Daniel, I felt a call to do that, because Daniel's like, share whatever you want to share, like share it out. And at that point, I was like, I had the urge, like, the prompt to share it out.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? What I'm trying to do is go a bit deeper. Like, okay, now, so there is the thing that you shared, which is in words. What was the? And I know it's hard to describe, but it's like, what was the conviction that was coming to you? That was more than just a series of thoughts that came from before.
So it's more like I felt like I need to declare God's goodness, like God's goodness is not to harm you, because I feel like that's a need to do that, to declare.
Wow.
Declare His goodness, to declare that He has plans to prosper us, even though we might sin or disobey, or He'll bring us back. Like the exile, like that exile as sometimes we maybe, you know, play obey or slow to obey, or but he'll at a certain time bring us back.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. So sometimes what happens is we're going through something. We are not bringing that something into the worship as just a human thing, right? But at a certain time when we are going through difficult times, we're not regurgitating what we're going through into the thing. We're not pouring our souls to this as much as we are actually responding in a faithful way to what God is saying. And it's funny how sometimes when we do that, the Lord inspires that. It becomes a word, you know. It's like God gives you something to answer the negativity of our journey. God gives us a word. And when that happens, it becomes more than the word that came to your mind. It became something more like when it's something from God, it's a particle, you grab onto it with faith, that particle explodes. Mm-hmm. It expands. So that's how when in worship a lot of times we go, you know. Sometimes it's we're going through something, we're looking for God, and something that God just drops a particle. And at that time when it's out there, the particle's out there, it doesn't seem very inspiring. But we take it and we put our heart and soul into it. And see what happens. It just moves. It just kind of erupts. And that is how worship can become powerful, especially faithful worship. Yeah? So that's also another dynamic, yeah? Anyone else?
Can I add to that? When Betsy was praying against infirmity, and then Daniel had that word about the cancer, there was something about that, about the cancer. Somebody, I think it was Sonia, mentioned it. There was something about that word that just exploded in me. I just felt that it wasn't the word. It was like something behind the word that was just speaking to the incarnation when God finally is a human God. And I think you need to speak it out. And I'm normally not convicted like that. For some reason, just illness to me is just so confounding. You know, physical suffering is so confounding.
Yeah.
But there was something about the blessing that Daniel was pouring on the country, where I feel like God is in many ways just withdrawing his hand, that was convicting for me, because it's like God is still a healing God. You know, his healingness is just, it's like a wave. It's like you can't stop a tide, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was very, very, that was a consolation.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody else?
I don't know who shared it, but someone shared the word about like the woman grabbing onto Jesus' coat.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I felt like it gave me like a particle of hope. Like especially like I feel like God kind of like changed something in me from like feeling the need to like convince myself that he can do it to like, I don't know. Like it wasn't really a thought process. It just like I felt like just all of a sudden like faith that like just one little particle. Like I just need like to touch it.
Yeah.
And like it'll like explode. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you were just talking.
It was Daniel who shared it.
Okay. Yeah. Like when you were talking about like just like a particle. Like I felt like when I was listening to that word, like it was like real. Like it was like a physical particle that could like change things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that amazing that it's not a concept only? It's a thing. It has substance. And we sometimes have to just jump on it, eat it first, and see what happens, because it's a more of a mystery than our own conception of it. Like, we may have an idea about it, but like, it is bigger than our idea about it. So we have to sort of jump on it and see what happens. It's interesting that's a dynamic in worship as well, the things of the Spirit. Yeah. It wasn't an argument against negativity, was a substance.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yeah, when Sam was praying and I spoke out after it, it was like, you know, what he was praying was giving me what God was saying was in that was what you get if you really believe this is peace beyond understanding.
Yeah.
So
same thing that Lisa brought up. I felt like the prayers like increase the faith. And then I thought about the story of the woman and also the centurion.
Yeah.
How that, and then his faith. And then I pray that I pray that we hope we can go into a deeper his kingdom's inner working, because the centurion understands authority.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, so we can increase our faith, so we can understand how your kingdom works, and
yeah,
like along the lines of the centurion, how his understanding was.
It's in worship that we come into the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. We go beyond words. See, sometimes teaching can only give you the concepts, but there's a distance between the concept and the actual thing. In worship, we actually eat the blood, the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus. We actually eat the thing. Anyone else?
As you were kind of sharing that too, I just kind of got a sense of how a lot of times we could see disappointment as like a setback.
Yeah.
But for the woman that got healed, she had experienced disappointment for like 12 years, you know?
Yeah.
But that kind of positioned her to kind of think outside of the box, because, you know, I don't know any other story. There might be where like someone touched something and then got healed. Like, I don't know where she got that idea. But it's crazy because somehow that it almost gave her like a creative like a desperation, mm-hmm. you know. She's like, nothing else can like heal me, but somehow it's like, if I touch that, like, I don't know, that sounds really wild to me, you know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, that God can turn like a season of disappointment into like a, you know, you start thinking outside the box.
Amen.
And you can start doing like you kind of have the mindset of God to be like, hey, maybe, you know, why not, right?
Yeah. And trust that things come, and those things that come may not be nonsense, you know. Maybe God, actually. I have a question for Daniel and for all of us. You mentioned something about that, and you said stretch. And so there was something in your voice that was like, stretch. He was like stretching it, right, when he was saying it. There was something in his voice that was saying it. So the thing is that, how do you stretch? So what was in your mind when you say, what do you actually do when you stretch? How do you stretch? You know? And so I'm also interested in, like, how do we stretch? What do we mean by stretch? Do you stretch physically, or what does that mean?
I guess.
I'm asking you first, and then asking all of us. Because, you know, in worship, we have a lot of metaphors, right? We use a lot of metaphors. And sometimes the metaphors give us an idea, but it's only an idea. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is to know what this metaphor is actually pointing to, right? So that dynamic of stretching is something that we talk about a lot, but we may not necessarily know what it could mean, you know, what it could be. But there are, I'm sure, many ways in which we stretch. But I thought it may be helpful for us if we sort of unpack that stretch, because I know it was powerful. Right? We know something there. Stretching also means that, right, there's something that's beyond me. It's beyond my present experience. Right? I'm not experiencing it, but if I stretch, I will touch it. So what is that distance, right?
Well, actually, as I was getting this impression, just of the lady like stretching out, like, it's like she had to get out of her zone of comfort.
Yeah.
And kind of acceptance
good.
Of
yes.
her state, you know. So because she knew there was something more, there was like something she could just grab. But it took some effort. And I think it connects with the passage from Isaiah 54 about kind of stretching the tent, or was it?
And that's the place of stretch, the tents of your habitations.
I think there's a way that we can just get comfortable in our Christian lives, and but God has more for us, but we have to like stretch
yes.
out, because He has fruitfulness for us, and if we don't desire it, don't increase our capacity by doing things that are uncomfortable, like leading worship time.
Okay, so that's one way of that's one way of stretching, right?
Yeah.
Doing something that's kind of uncomfortable, okay?
Yeah.
Let's try to talk about it without using the word stretch. Okay, Elisa.
One thing that you also said actually was like, don't be afraid to interrupt God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, like, one thing I like about metaphors is I feel like it does give you kind of like a blank slate to like let God speak into it more, because I mean, even in like the Hebrew, like we like see a word, but it means like so much more than like what that like word is. It's just kind of like a film that you like peel back and there's so much more in there.
Like, it's like a structure for you.
But there's
container.
So I think one thing was like asking, like for me, like I have a hard time asking God for things, but like for it's more of a stretch to be like, like, okay, like, I'm asking you, this is what I want, like, can you please do this? I'm not thinking like, oh, well, if it's your will, like, but kind of just
make
imposing,
a stand.
I think that's the word, imposing.
Good.
Just asking you.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree with that. Which is us, and like, the stretching, I saw it more like, I see it more like, take the step of faith, right?
Yeah.
Stretch it, just go.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. God will never put you in shame.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that.
Yeah.
He will never put you in shame. Just do it. Go for it.
I was thinking about it in terms of placing the pain and moving into that pain in an appropriate way to kind of push beyond and push into it, right? So without using the word stretch, right? But and like feeling where, okay, this is the easy part of the exercise, right? The stretch. But if I move this way, it's more painful. So it's like almost exploring, okay, why is that the case? To move beyond for flexibility, right? Like a certain amount of actually exercising and stretching to the pain of moving beyond for flexibility.
Right.
So it's like, okay, if we want to stretch into that thing, it's going to be painful.
Yeah.
But if we want to move past that pain and to be more flexible, right? But you can't stay where it's comfortable, so you can already touch your toes, whatever. Don't touch your toes anymore. What hurts? Don't just stay at your toes. Move beyond.
Yeah, then you have more mobility.
Right.
You can move in the things of God. Or else you are too stiff, right?
Yeah.
Stiffness is a pain, right? So it's what stretching is. It's actually moving beyond pain. And actually the pain will go. You know? That's a good point. Yeah. Somebody said something about I will not be ashamed. So I just wanted to just note that what was in terms of stretching is so there is a sense of uncertainty or risk. Uncertainty or risk. So stretch.
Risk,
process.
In other words. Actually for God it's like, wow, my son is doing something. Okay, I'll bless him or bless him.
A bit of the unknown.
Yes.
The unpredictability. Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking in terms of putting oneself on the line, and that you're present and you are leaning in such a way that if that place where you're going is not certain, you'll fall. When I was a teenager, I did a lot of structural welding, and so I'd weld something and I would stand on that structure, sometimes jump on it, and so there was that sense that I am present, I'm putting myself out there. And if it does not hold, then I will fall. In some cases, it would have been quite a distance. So I had to be very confident.
Yeah.
But if that's this sense of there's a little bit of a confidence and a forward thrust that and a risk and you're putting yourself on the line.
I agree with that commitment and courage, the courage that's required in commitment. is really the thing that is so basic to kind of breaking into that room. So that stretching, yeah. Okay, I have one more question, and then we will go to the next thing, yeah. How did you experience an increase or a change in weight, the weight of things, yeah, or conviction? If you did, can you describe a certain place in the worship where you felt strength rising or conviction rising or worship rising? Yeah. So for example, like, I'll give you an example, right? When we sang the song, "Oh Praise the Name of the Lord our God," I felt that if we stop singing it, you won't give a chance for it to arise. And the dynamic that's available for us to receive anything would be less. So I don't know whether you felt it, but you felt like as we are worshiping, like something rise. So that is a very valuable part, a very important part. It's not describable with words, but that rise of conviction is what we are talking about when we talk about the weight or the first category of things, like that conviction and all that. We are people who want to be very familiar with that more than the words. Words are just casings for those things. They're just descriptors of that. But really what the actual virtue of it is the rise in conviction. Now the worship team have got a handle on that, you know. You can see that they know how to, like, when they're worshiping and we hit a certain thing, they know how to hit it hard and keep whacking it. You know, just like that when Elisha told King Joash, right, to hit the ground with that thing. And they've caught that. It's not words, it's not concepts. It's actually a thing. I wonder whether any of you, you know, felt that or could describe that.
Well, when I spoke out, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," I kind of felt a conviction of what I'm doing in my ministry.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, this is his will.
Praise God.
And that it will be done.
Amen.
So, yeah. Because, you know, I'm kind of jumping into the deep end and don't really know, but he keeps giving me confirmation, so.
Right. So you have a category for that, yeah.
Yes.
You can recognize that. Praise God. Anyone else?
I kind of felt like with the repeating, right?
Yeah,
like,
repeating.
Yeah, it was almost like a picture of the walls at Jericho falling, right? In terms of, you know, we've seen this one more time, they're going to fall down, right? But if we don't, they're not, right? So a certain amount of, we're almost there, right?
Yeah.
Like pushing into it a second time, a third time, you know, 17th time. Just what, like, joy that is.
Yeah.
And almost like how we start out small, right?
Yeah.
In terms of our voices, or it's scratchy,
yeah.
And then at the end we're like, you know, we're singing strong, you know, hear each other.
That's good.
Wall or crack, like, physically moving, you know, down. But.
Amen.
For me, it's about fanning that flame.
Yes.
Just keep going, like, to fan it more and more and more. Like,
yes, yes. But where during the worship did you feel that?
Well, I felt like in the beginning we were trying to fan it. But with the, you know, the first song.
The song, yeah.
The first song, yeah, trying to fan it.
Yeah. And you noticed that Hephzibah was sensing that.
Mm-hmm.
So she was going off already.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a sense of that. Yeah, so she was using the guitar and singing to actually move forward. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, good. Let's go to the next part. Well, we are also not only interested in moving in things of the spirit in the worship, but also in praying for one another. So I wonder whether we can break up into our groups. our normal groups, and pray for one another, and keeping in mind the three things that we've had. And one of the things about growing in accuracy and weight has to do with getting feedback, you know. Feedback is important. And sometimes feedback is a little scary because we don't know whether we are hit or miss, right? I mean, let's be honest. But and that's why corporate prayer is very important. It's important because sometimes we have some things that we secretly have in our hearts, and we dare not say, we're not sure, but someone says it, and you're like, okay, I was in line. Yeah. So that's really helpful. That's why I believe in corporate prayer. But the other thing is this: when we are praying for people doing prayer ministry, how would you know that what you prayed was on? Right? So the thing is this: let's pray for one another, break up into groups, and pray as God leads you. Okay, pray as God leads you. And then share, was there anything that struck you from someone else praying for you? Is that okay? So let's just break up. Don't tell each other anything about what they want prayer for. Don't tell your group what you want prayer for. But just pray to bless one another. Yeah. Don't worry too much about accuracy, but just try to just hone in and all that. Don't let that be a kind of a performance orientation thing. But just pray to bless and love each other, and then feel free to just give feedback on how what resonated or anything that blessed you. Yeah. So we'll break up into groups for the next 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah. So that means take time. You don't have to pray immediately. You know, give yourself space to be able to just pray in spirit and all that, and quieten your heart.